This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers from around the world. Welcome to the final episode of this groundbreaking series by Imam Kareem Abu Zayd titled Nation of Goodness. You guys have seen him on Guidance TV, of course, on Huda TV, on many, many programs, Building a Better Future, Stories of Hajj, The Inevitable Journey. As always, he's given us very useful and beneficial information. In this series, if you guys haven't seen the first 12 episodes, please do so. Catch yourself up. YouTube, Islam Way 71, that's his channel, or Abu Wan Abdullah, that's my channel. Get online, check him out at www.kareemabuzayd.com to check out his latest thoughts, reflections, and Friday sermons. Now we're at the final episodes, the final episode, and we're going to recap the entire series now. You don't want to miss this one. So let us welcome our Sheikh back to the program. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Kareem.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Malik, dear viewers. I enjoy it so much working this series. And I believe there is one missing piece here that I must complete.
Sure.
Because we spoke about the types of Muslims. Once right. It comes to the command of enjoining good and forbidding evil, we mentioned there is a very small portion of the Ummah who are doing it, not sufficient.
Okay.
We need to mobilize more Muslims to do this. The overwhelming majority of the Muslims abandon this, and in their homes, you see a lot of evil. In the Muslim homes, a lot of evil. And where are the parents? Where are the fathers? قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Protect your family and yourselves against the hellfire. Imams, you see problems in your congregations and you still don't speak about it in Jum'ahs. Community leaders, you see a lot of wrongdoing in your schools, in your communities. You have to do something about it. So we want to mobilize more people to enjoin good and forbid evil because of the fact that it is so much needed. There is very unfortunate a portion of the Ummah who do it, but they do it wrong.
What do you mean, Shaykh?
Well, I think the motive is not there. You see, when you do this, you must do it for Allah. I tell you an ideal example, and I probably shared this with you before. I don't know if it's in the show or not, but there was somebody who wanted to mobilize the whole community against a brother who sells cigarettes in his gas station.
Okay.
And I said, why would you do this? Why in the world would you do this? I mean, it's a good thing.
He called you on your program.
Yes. And then, quite frankly, I asked him this question, but in private. Do you have an issue with this man? He said, yes, I wanted to marry his daughter, and he turned me down.
Okay.
That is not the reason you want to enjoy good and forbid evil.
Okay.
Okay. You see, it's you only want to use it when it serves a personal agenda here.
I see.
That is not going to work.
Okay.
You see,
it's a personal attack.
No.
With camouflage.
No.
Right.
You see, Malik, enjoining good and forbidding evil is an act that you need 100% sincerity. Otherwise, it will never going to work. You know, we read that sometimes Sayyidina Umar used to always walk around with a darra, with a stick in his hand. Sometimes he used to go and, you know, and the people used to look at him and smile. Because they know that he's not doing this out of fun.
He's joking.
No, he's serious about it. He's sincere about it.
Oh, okay.
You know, sincerity normally would actually, even if you're tough in the way that you deliver,
right.
in the way that you, sincerity can balance this if you're sincere, if
right.
you're doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they end up doing it by wrong. They end up basically, number two, they do not have the knowledge.
Okay.
You see, because for you to enjoin good and forbid evil properly, and we kind of covered this before in these four episodes and how you go about it.
Right.
Listen, you must be sincere. You must do this for Allah. Because a lot of Muslims also, they do it because they want to see, oh, mashallah, look at this brother. He cannot handle seeing evil.
Right.
He wants to be known by that.
Right.
Look, when he sees something wrong, mashallah, he speaks.
Okay.
That is not the motive either.
This is wrong.
Listen. If you do not do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not work. It will never work. So you must have sincerity. You must have knowledge. Knowledge of the subject.
Okay.
Okay? And a lot of the brothers, they come and say, Sheikh, you cannot do this and this. And then right away ask them a question in the depth of the subject.
Right.
They stutter. Right. I said, you know, I'm sorry. You know, go study the subject and come and tell me what to do.
Right.
So the knowledge of the subject, the knowledge of the condition of the person, this is also a key.
Yeah.
And the knowledge of when can you do it?
Timing.
I mean, for example, you find these brothers standing in public and making noise in communities. Yeah, akhi, take the matter inside.
Right.
Take the brother inside. Huh? Take him to the side. Shafi'i made that statement, whether it is worded quietly the way that I'm saying it. النصيحة في الملأ فضيحة. That when you want to give somebody nasiha, don't say it in public.
Right.
You're disgracing him.
Right, of course.
Maybe few people are aware of that shortcoming that he has. Take it inside. And normally people become more offended when they are fixed or when they are told what to do in public.
Right.
So the knowledge of the timing, the knowledge of the condition, the knowledge of the subject.
Right.
When you do it, you must do it with rifq.
Meaning
softness, kindness. You must be kind when you do it.
Right.
You cannot be tough. You cannot be, you have to use
kind words.
A low tone kind of voice. All of this, Malik, is part of the package of how to do it. Listen, because at the end of the day, what is your objective? Is to get them to do it, or you want to punish them for not doing it?
Right, that's the objective.
That's the objective. Then listen, if you want people to follow you, why did the Prophet ﷺ was followed? Because of what? He's soft, he's kind, even against people who are disobedient. So we must use softness.
Okay.
And I think it comes in line with this, the fact that you want people to be guided. I cannot dismiss from my mind the fact that at one stage the Prophet ﷺ was given the opportunity to destroy all his enemies. You probably know what I'm referring to.
Go ahead, Sheikh, yes.
When the angel of the mountain came and he said to him, command me, I will make those two mountains
crumble
on them. Hadith Aisha في البخاري. Oh. He said, no, I just want their offspring.
Look at the wisdom.
Look.
Yeah.
If this is the spirit that you have, I think the person with whom you're trying to enjoin good and forbid evil, if they sense this in you, that you really care, that you really want them to do this because you care about them,
right.
You want them to do what is right, I think it will make a big difference in your call.
Of course.
The problem with us, we go and with that group, with that category of Muslims,
right.
they appoint themselves as judges. They actually go ahead and punish people. They never make sure that whether the people are educated about the subject or not. They never use wisdom when they convey the message to the people. So we need to do this. After this comes in, you have to be patient.
Right.
What happens a lot of cases that you go and you try to enjoin good and forbid evil, the person reacts in an ignorant
negative way,
and then you do likewise.
Right.
And you end up with a fight.
Right.
Listen, if you go, Assalamu alaikum Malik, you know that thing that you're doing is wrong. Ittaqillah, yani fear Allah. Allah says, the messenger says, you should do this, and then you react in a very bad way. Khalas, I'm sorry, I approached you. Ya bunayya, aqim as-salah, wa'mur bil-ma'roof, wanha anil munkar, wasbir ala ma asaba. Luqman tells his son, my son, establish the salah, pray, enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, then what? Be patient.
MashaAllah, it's beautiful. They really put it together.
Oh yeah, because if you're in that, listen, if you are in the business of enjoining good and forbidding evil, a lot of the people are not going to like you. A lot of the people are not going to like you. وَالْعُلَمَاءُ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ The scholars are the heirs of the prophets. They did not inherit wealth, dollars or cents, dinar or dirhams. They inherited their knowledge, and their job is to convey that knowledge to the people. And like mirathun nubuwa, the inheritance of prophethood, prophets had enemies.
Certainly.
Not everyone accepted what they are calling the people to. Actually, the great this portion of their communities rejected them. They actually fought them. The same exact thing with you. Based on the magnitude of your work of enjoining good and forbid evil, you're going to end up with enemies. That is why you need to be patient. And one thing that can help you to be patient, that you do it sincerely for Allah.
Okay.
If you're doing it to show off, if you're doing it for other reasons than this, I'm telling you, you're not going to have patience. You're going to try to end up even. You're going to try to end up to vengeance, and it's going to get ugly.
Certainly you will fail.
Certainly you will fail. So we say to that group of Muslims who are enjoining good without good, forbidding evil without evil, please, sincerity, one. Two, knowledge. Knowledge, acquire the knowledge. And educate the people about the subject matter before you go and judge them. Okay. Number three, when you convey that knowledge, convey it with kindness. Be soft. Number four, be patient at the end of the day, because you're doing it for the sake of Allah. And if the people do not get guided, if the people are not to fulfill what you're asking them to fulfill, Allah will reward you for conveying, because you have fulfilled the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, once it comes to this group, with this, bifadlillahi ta'ala, I believe we have concluded all the points that I wanted to bring regarding this series. Maybe in Malik, in the next segment, inshallah, we will recap some of the things, inshallah, that we mentioned.
Sounds good.
I really enjoyed that series, and I, you know, even it's not over yet. We still have one more segment. I want to say Jazakallahu khairan for working that series with me again. And
my
also
pleasure,
for all the brothers who helped out, and the director and everybody, inshallah.
Thank you so much, Sheikh. Truly, it's my honor, my pleasure to be with you once again. And you guys at home, you heard it from Imam Kareem Abu Zayd. Don't miss the final segment of his series, your series, Nation of Goodness. Wait for his final thoughts, so stay tuned.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Have spilled over onto the
escalated into violent clashes between police and protesters
over the government's plan to avoid default.
And we're also hearing of injuries on both.
Journalist Charlie McGrath says the cuts will heap further suffering on ordinary people
for decades, but the fence needs some repair.
This is a serious and big storm.
Join me as I explore issues, pressing issues facing the Muslim world today. From the one-sided civil war in Syria to the genocide in Burma, from the Arab Spring to the elections in the U.S., and yes, even the Euro debt crisis in Greece. Honest reporting on a channel you can trust, and I won't leave an issue untouched. Don't miss the Ummah Tonight with me, Malik, on your favorite channel for the TV.
خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the final episode, the final segment of the final episode of Imam Kareem Abu Zayd's series, Nation of Goodness. Sheikh Kareem, let me just start by saying truly it's been a wonderful 12 and a half episodes thus far. I don't want to overpraise you, but I really enjoyed working with you. I hope to see you again soon on another program. But in this final segment, inshallah, can you briefly recap and just give some final advices to our viewers?
You know, the first thing, Malik, that really I want to stress, even so I mentioned it over and over again, you are the best ummah, dear viewers. You belong to the best ummah. Wallahi, Malik. That verse, brothers and sisters in Islam, makes me proud. The real bride, not the fake bride. You know, the fake bride that you become bride of your wealth, of your children, that is a fake, wrong bride, because Allah can take this from you anytime. But the fact that I'm a Muslim, I'm proud to be a Muslim. I'm proud to belong to the best ummah ever brought out from mankind.
SubhanAllah, this is enough. This is so much.
And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in Islam, and this is amazing. Don't look at the condition of the ummah now. It may be grieving even to look at the condition of the Ummah now, but look at the end result, the final outcome. I use that analogy and I use it again. The story of Yusuf, all of you know it, started with a painful experience, in the middle a painful experience, but at the end of the day, Yusuf became empowered in earth.
MashaAllah.
You see, if you look at that portion of the story, that clip where he is in the bottom of the pit, or if he is in the bottom of the dungeon being innocent, you're going to be sad, you're going to be upset. But if you know that at the end of the day he will be empowered in earth, you will be happy. The same exact thing with the Ummah Malik. You are the best Ummah ever brought to mankind. Don't look at the condition of the Ummah now. Look at the end of the day. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sent his messenger with the true deen, will make it overcome any other religion in the face of this earth. I was reading it the other day. The most growing religion in the face of this earth is Islam.
SubhanAllah.
And guess who made that statement, brothers and sisters in Islam? The Catholic Church.
MashaAllah.
The Catholic Church. And you know what? We don't even have a budget for da'wah. We don't even have a budget. Yani we will complain to you all the time about how the budget of Huda, the budget of Guidance TV is not sufficient.
Telecoms.
We're struggling. We were walking around the city here and Malik showed me one of these other TV channels which broadcast belly dancing and all these type of soap operas which get people into fitna and stuff. Look at their studios. Compare their studios with our humble studio here in Huda TV. It's not bad, alhamdulillah, still good. But at the end of the day, I want to tell you that this is the religion of Allah, this is the deen of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it successful. But again, Malik, we need to remember the goodness of the ummah is tied to strings. Like we mentioned in our show and previously, enjoining
good,
forbidding evil.
Okay.
We need to revive this task in the ummah. Okay. We need to start in a personal level, enjoin good and forbid evil with your own self.
And your family.
Change your own self first. Change your family, your surrounding. Change the community around you, but go about it with wisdom. And I want to say to those who do this work of enjoining good and forbidding evil, don't compromise. A lot of Muslims have compromised. Have compromised the manhaj, the teachings.
Right.
They are in the business of a lot of imams out there. It's very unfortunate, especially in America. They have compromised the teachings of Islam to satisfy some of their community members. Do not do this, ya akhi. Do not do this. Wallahi Malik, there is a hadith. This hadith is out of this world. Hadith Ibn Abbas fi Sahihain. The hadith is filled with benefits. I'd love just to explain this hadith in a whole series. But there is one statement that I want out of this hadith. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ الْأُمَمْ. The nations in their way to Jannah were presented to me. Of course, every nation will enter Jannah behind their prophet, behind their messenger. Now, he said that I saw the prophets leading their nations into Jannah. Fi Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Hadith Anas ibn Malik, that presentation of the nations happened at the night of Ascension. He saw this at the night of the Ascension. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ وَمَعْهُ الرَّهْطِ. I saw a prophet who was followed by nine and less people. A prophet had nine followers.
Yeah.
That's not the amazing piece. You're laughing already. وَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ وَمَعْهُ الرَّجُلْ وَالرَّجُلَانِ. And I saw a prophet, only one man or two men followed him. You're still amazed. Look at this now. وَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدْ. And I saw prophets who had no followers. Don't tell me that these prophets did not deliver.
Right,
they
right.
delivered. But the people never listened to them.
Right.
They never accepted them. I want to tell you something. Did Allah reveal to these prophets, why don't you compromise the message a little bit, tweak it a little bit?
To get more followers.
To get more followers?
Yeah, of course
no.
not.
Never. Right. Never. If you are in the business of enjoining good and forbidding evil, stand your ground. Don't change. Don't compromise. وَأُوحِيَ إِلَى نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ. It was revealed to Nuh that no one anymore will believe you, Nuh. That's it. No one will accept you anymore. Did Allah say to him,
compromise.
Compromise? Make the message a little bit more appealing to the people?
Right.
La. So if you are in that business of enjoining good and forbidding evil, never compromise the message.
Okay.
Stand your ground. But again, use wisdom, use good preaching, fair preaching. This has to be done. But don't compromise the message. I tell them as well, because those are the people who bring the ummah back, the people who enjoin good and forbid evil. I tell them as well, never stop. Never stop, because again, I made that statement before and I'm willing to make it again. I'm just concerned that the time you decide to stop calling people to Allah, enjoining good and forbidding evil, this is the time when Allah opens their heart to listen to you.
And they're waiting for the message and you stop.
They are waiting and you have stopped. You're not there anymore. No, keep doing it. Keep reminding it. Keep doing it. Keep reminding it. Never stop. Use wisdom. Use wisdom when you speak. Use wisdom when you speak. When we do this, inshallah, I think we are looking good. And this ummah will regain its status bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.
Inshallah, Sheikh, thank you so much for completing the series, 13 episodes of Nation of Goodness. I believe, inshallah, that it was very beneficial, like your previous programs. Really quick, can you give the viewer some insight into what your thoughts are going into the future? What can they expect to see from you in the near future on the Huda TV screen?
I'm really thinking now about an experiment that happened to me, Malik. In Denver, in Colorado, where I am imaming right now, Masjid Abu Bakr, I have a lot of interaction with Christian and Jews.
Okay.
This is what they call interfaith, even so I don't feel very comfortable with the name. But this is what
too.
They call, yeah. Because we never enter into their faith.
Yeah, right. That's funny.
لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ.
Right, right.
بس يعني, mashallah, يعني, I still go and convey the message. I received a seminary group, and they really well versed with the religion. And I started presenting Islam to them and the pillars and so forth. And then at the end of the day, their leader, their head, made a statement, and he said, it sounds to me like your salvation in Islam depends upon what you do for Allah.
Sheikh, they always say this. They say,
yes.
Your salvation, you're a work righteous religion. They
right.
pin their words, their
right.
vocabulary to your deen. Go ahead, Sheikh. I'm sorry.
But my salvation is already done for me. Jesus Christ died
yes.
in the cross for
they
my sins.
They always say this.
So that kind of got to me. And actually, I'm doing a whole series.
Okay.
Salvation. I don't know what the name. We have not decided on the name yet. But we want to talk about salvation in Islam. Versus the concept in Christianity. You know, in Christianity, it's simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins.
And you have you're free and clear.
You're free and clear. And you actually have, subhanAllah, like a one-way ticket to Jannah already.
Yeah,
you
right.
have it in your hand, as long
right.
as you believe that. Which is, you know, subhanAllah, this person, when we spoke about this, you know, he said, and I'm going to paradise. And I said, are you sure? Are you sure that you're going to paradise? Look right. into the eye, man. Are you sure? I looked at him. He looked away like this.
So this is an interesting topic for your next series, inshallah.
Yeah.
The concept of salvation in Islam
and Christianity. I'm going to focus on
Islam.
On Islam.
Obviously, yeah.
Ibn Taymiyyah, Tayyibullah Thara, mentioned 10 means for us to get our sins expiated. I'm going to actually focus and mention one by one. I'm going to do the show by myself because it's kind of
straightforward.
You know, it's
yeah.
straightforward and,
yeah.
and inshallah,
direct.
I'm looking forward to recording this bi-idhnillahi ta'ala in this trip. I'm also looking forward to doing something about Hajr al-Quran, abandoning the Quran. It's very, subhanAllah, sad that a lot of Muslims, they pay very much attention to the Quran in Ramadan. They recite it and then they abandon it the rest of the year. And also I want to shed more light on the rest of the types of abandonments of the Quran. So maybe I'm looking into doing something like that, inshallah, while I'm here in Cairo.
Inshallah. Thank you so much once again for letting me participate with you in this lovely program. I look forward to seeing you again in the near future, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh.
Jazakallahu khairan, Malik. I want to say jazakumullahu khairan. I want to say jazakumullahu khairan for the brothers and who are behind the camera. All the brothers right here in the studio with us. We have three of them. MashaAllah, may Allah reward you. We have Brother Ihab. And
Brother Majdi, Brother Osama, everybody in the van.
MashaAllah, and we have Ahmad Abdul Maqsood, our director. I love working with him always. And I have Brother Rabia
in the van as well.
In the van. Brother Sayyid from production. May Allah reward all of you for contributing to
and
that
series. And of course,
series.
All the people at OTV and all the people that have contributed in our telethon to keep this program, these programs running and keep OTV on the air. You guys at home, thank you so much for watching all 13 episodes of this series, your series, Nation of Goodness. We certainly hope that you benefited from the insights and wisdom provided here by Sheikh Imam Karim Abuzaid. Don't forget to follow him online at www.karimabuzaid.com. And don't forget to stay tuned to Huda TV to see more of his programs and other beneficial programs. So until next time, I leave you in the care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnasi ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. Walau amana ahlul kitab lakana khayran lahum. منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.